The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Jonathan Healy filling in for Pat Kenny on this Friday morning. Now, 71-year-old Alexander Yuk-Ching Ma must now, for the rest of his life, cooperate with the US government under a lie detector test when he's asked. Now, he's a former CIA agent who has just been jailed for a decade for espionage. And by the sounds of it, they don't trust him. Talking about this is Larry Donnelly, law lecturer with the University of Galway, columnist with the journal.ie. Larry, good morning.
Good morning, Jonathan.
Tell us a little bit about the charges this guy's facing.
Well, this guy, they had him dead to rights, Jonathan. And a lot of this stuff goes back to the early 2000s. As you say, he had been a CIA agent, but they had a pretty good track on him. And he was passing on lots of information to the Chinese government. Now, how damaging and how serious it was, we're not 100% sure. But he was saying things, you know, that once they had a lead that he was spying for the Chinese government, they had people looking at him. And indeed, he said on the record that he was hoping that he would see the motherland succeed in making all sorts of other incriminating statements. The Chinese government, I think, gave him at least $50,000, golf clubs, all sorts of other things. So they had him dead to rights. So he really had no choice other than to plead guilty in these circumstances. And at 71, he could well die in prison.
Yeah, I have to say, he kind of sold himself short for 50 grand and a couple of golf clubs. But how long was he at it before he was caught?
It seems to have been for a number of years anyway. And then the sort of strange thing is, you know, he's been in custody, I believe, since 2020. And most of the stuff goes back to the early noughties. What happened in the intervening years, I think, is a mystery. But this comes amidst a wave of arrests, particularly of Chinese Americans in the United States, charged with spying offenses. And it's rather frightening to see the tentacles of the Chinese government at work here. We're talking about, again, they've infiltrated our Secret Service agencies, et cetera, at the highest levels. And also, another arrest that happened last week was that of Linda Sun, who is an aide to New York Governor Kathy Hochul. And she evidently used her position to block access for the Taiwanese government to the New York governor's office. So they've clearly infiltrated things in the United States. And that's why I think we're seeing a really concerted effort by U.S. government authorities to root this out from the top to the bottom.
We're not quite at red under the bed levels of paranoia, but definitely they seem to be more concerned, because this guy Ma, like, he was a naturalized U.S. citizen, but he had been fully embedded with state agencies for ages.
Yeah, and it's extraordinary that, you know, again, a lot of these people, as you say, they've gone to the United States in search of a better life. They've made successes of themselves in a whole range of different spheres, but they're still attracted to a certain sense of loyalty, as Ma put it, loyalty to the motherland. And the Chinese government is clearly able to tap into this reservoir of good feeling and loyalty that persists, notwithstanding the fact that they're presumably at least happier and more successful in the United States than they would be if they had stayed in China. But that loyalty persists. And I think one of the other things, and this will become clear in some cases, maybe not in others, is that once the Chinese government officials have their claws in them, there's really no getting out at that stage. They're able to threaten them, et cetera, to keep them providing information. And as with all things, the Chinese government seems to be playing the long game here. They're willing to engage with just about anybody who can give them some information. We saw that earlier this year in the case of Xu Zhengwang, an academic in New York who was really kind of a Walter Mitty type figure who claimed to know all sorts of things and be able to pass on information to the Chinese government. And they humored him. They took whatever he would get. And then when the time came, they hung him out to dry, and he's just been convicted as well. So you know, it's really sinister here. And again, it makes it very hard for the U.S. and China to deal at even hands, or for the United States not to be inherently suspicious of every single thing that China does. So in that longer term, one wonders the impact on the U.S.-China relationship, and indeed the ultimate fallout for the rest of the world.
It must be very difficult then, I'd imagine, for other people of Chinese origin who are working in the services You know, when something like this happens, do they naturally feel as if they're under suspicion because Ma had gotten away with it for so long? And if he did it, maybe you're doing it too. I mean, the same kind of implication of an Irish person who might have been working abroad was automatically suspected of doing wrong during the worst of the Troubles.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And that's actually the parallel I was just about to draw. One can only feel serious sympathy for what I would imagine is the vast majority of Chinese Americans, you know, who have taken an oath of loyalty to the United States, who utterly reject at many levels the Chinese government and lots of the things it's done, and are trying to build new lives for themselves, their families, who are working hard, you know, who are using their education, their skills, et cetera, to benefit their new country. That oftentimes people might look askance at them and say, what is this man or woman actually doing? So they're the, I suppose, unintended victims here of all that's going on. But what is clear, and I know that this is a fear at European level as well, there's lots of European countries who are concerned about this, is that there is a loose but massive network of Chinese people, Chinese transplants, who are being tapped into, whether willingly or unwillingly, for the benefit of the Chinese government. And that should concern us all.
The other thing, I suppose, that comes out of this is the Americans' fascination with lie detector tests. I mean, they're not used in Europe for basic reasons that they don't really work and you can't rely on them for anything. But this poor sod, every time he has to ask to go to the toilet, is going to be subject to a polygraph test, is he?
Yeah, you know, this is kind of a, you know, a worrying thing. They're going to push him to the limit. I'd say that the intention here is, look, you know, as part of your plea deal, we're going to make this very publicly known that we're going to make your life miserable for no matter whether you're in prison or out of prison. The rest of your life is going to be miserable and you're going to be subjected to polygraph tests and interrogation and all sorts of things forever. That to me is as inhumane as that might sound at one level. That to me is intended to have a deterrent effect to others who might be tempted to say, look, if you do this, we're going to come after you no matter how minor. And again, I mentioned the case of the academic in New York who really didn't do anything all that bad, but they still went after him with everything they have. I think that the authorities are trying to make the case that, look, this is a big deterrent here. Don't even think about doing this, or we're going to go after you with everything we have.
There's a movie in it. We'll see it at some stage, I'm sure, Larry. Before I let you go, on the week that's in it, we had the first presidential debate on Wednesday, clearly won by Kamala Harris and dominated by people eating cats and dogs, or not eating cats and dogs, as the case may be. I just noticed online this morning the first opinion polls have emerged over in the US. Relatively, I suppose, good polling companies. And they're already showing a bit of a bump for Kamala Harris.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. I mean, I think anybody who watched that debate through an objective lens will know that she defeated Donald Trump handily. So I'm not surprised to see something of a bump. I'll be watching this in the next week or two to see how it manifests itself in the battleground states. But here's the thing, Jonathan. Immediately after the debate, Kamala Harris said to Donald Trump, let's do this again. We want to debate. And Trump last night said that because he won so handily, that's why she wants to debate again, and that he would not debate again. Now, frankly, I don't believe this. If he does say that I'm not going to debate, I think he's very, very foolish. I think he desperately needs to debate her again, and he desperately needs to perform better than he did on the first
occasion. But she also needs to debate, because the one thing that polling had been showing was that the American people didn't really know her. And by doing another debate, they get to know her better. So it's to her advantage that she actually has a debate. If it goes as badly as the other one for Trump, you can see why he might be reluctant.
Yeah, that's true. But I don't think he has any other choice. And I think at the same time, she has every reason to be confident going into the next one. So watch that space. But I personally would be very surprised if they don't face off on one more occasion between now and November 5th.
All right. Larry Donnelly, law lecturer at the University of Galway, columnist with thejournal.ie. Pleasure as always, Larry.
Thanks, John.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.